You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
I love the title of this podcast, Good Moms, Bad Choices. I really resonate. I resonate with that. Another podcast by the Pleasure Podcast Network. Whoop, whoop. We've got two moms, uncensored and outspoken, challenging the stereotypes of single parenting and societal norms. Here's a word from the host.
What's up? We're Good Moms, Bad Choices podcast.
Two black single moms living in LA, the Valley to be exact.
Duh.
But don't get it twisted. We keep it 100, real, and unfiltered every Wednesday.
This is not your average mom show. No DIYs, mommy hacks,
or complaining about how our kids just hit their 60-month milestone.
This is grown folks talk.
That's right, because mama gotta have a life too.
Nothing is off limits as we discuss mental health, sex, motherhood, dating, culture, and our sometimes bad choices.
With a range of guests from social activists to porn star parents, this is a judgment-free zone for moms, women, and anyone looking for their tribe.
Join us, your host,
Erica
and Mila of Good Moms, Bad Choices podcast.
Every Wednesday on all podcast platforms.
I'm Jordan, the host of the Horny Housewife podcast, where I discuss being intentional in your marriage, better sex, being a better lay, and dating your spouse. Every Monday, we're shooting the shit, and I'm answering your super juicy, super relatable, oh so familiar listener questions. And it just feels like the couple's locker room where there's no holding back, there's no sugarcoating. Get ready for some laughs, some knowledge, and leveling up inside and outside of the bedroom. Oh my God. I just sneezed 3 times in a row. Have you ever heard people say like sneezing is 1/16th of an orgasm? I do not know if that is true, but like wouldn't shock me because it feels so fucking good to sneeze. It's like you can feel it coming and the people that like try to make their sneeze go away, you sick son of a bitch. You sick son of a bitch. I don't think we would vibe whatsoever. Weirdo. Why would you want to take it away? No, but it feels so delicious, like this release. Does this mean I'm horny or something? The 3 in a row, by the 3rd one, I was like, oh. Also, I am hungover. I am hungover, and I'm never hungover because I'm 33 years old. I know how to consume alcohol and not make my life shit the next day. For me, if I just like drink the same thing, like if I drink white wine that evening, then I'm drinking white wine that evening. Like if I go out, maybe I'll start with an espresso martini if we're going out and about. But if I'm at home, like you drink your normal drink, right? And it's always these nights that catch you off guard. Housewives call them book club or bunco. They call them these names that we give them, but we really go there to do that thing. But really, it's way more about getting slightly intoxicated and giggling, talking a little shit. Good shit, not bad shit. The fellowship, it's so nice. I was so grateful to participate. I didn't know really anyone. I knew one person and 2 people, barely. And so, you know, as a woman, it is hard to make friends as an adult woman. I'm not from where I live, and to penetrate a woman in her mid-30s, that did not come out right, to like break her wall down, to find a way in. I feel like it's hard when it's my age, maybe because the phase of life we're in. When you have small children, you know, and then your family and you give a shit about them, you know, you're pretty attuned to that. I have my routine. I'm good with my routine. That's another thing. It's like, I'm not at home itching to shake up my routine. I like it. Do I want to fuck more? Always. But I am an insatiable person who has a problem, which also, by the way, I think my dad, like subliminally, I'm just saying words that I don't know. My dad was hinting, maybe asking if I was a swinger, maybe not. And he's like, I know you're not. I just thought you'd find that funny. I was like, did you? Or were you kind of like testing the waters to see if I'd be like, yep, we are. But now he found a picture of me with a pineapple when I was little and said, oh, you were a swinger from the start. And I was like, Dad, we're not swingers. But yeah, like no hate to swingers. Duh. Have you listened to this podcast? But yeah, maybe he doesn't listen and he just reads the name of the podcast. Ugh. By the way, you're getting hungover Jordan version today. By the way, hold on. There is a guest at the end. So just fucking hold on. We're getting to the point. By the way, I said I was the first time meeting these women, so I probably drank too much. You're not supposed to do that. You know, you don't want to drink too much and scare anybody, but, but it was, no, I don't think I scared anybody. I think it was all good and chill, but man, the tingles I feel when I have to talk about the podcast, like when the podcast gets brought up and then you say the name, some people's eyes just open up a little bit wider or they get a squint a little bit, one direction or the other. And I can feel even if they're not judging, they're humming. And then if they never listen and they just read the names of these episodes, I'm trying to get you to click. Did it fucking work? It's good. The product's good. The meal is delicious. The meat is juicy. But I got to get you in the room. I got to get you in the locker room. I think I do a good job at it. But if they just read those titles, they might be like, what a fucking whore. So fingies crossed. Fingies crossed. YOLO. Okay, so what's today's episode about, Jordan? Good fucking question. I have a guest today, Tilly Storm. We're breaking walls and taking names, bitches. No, but really, we are talking about how do we show up in our sexual situations. Some really good stuff. She's also shouting out the high libido women. I ask her, is this a bittersweet curse? She's more optimistic about it than I am. Also the sexy moms, like the shame we get for being these high libido women. And then women who feel asexual, who are like, hey, I want to be a sexual goddess. Where did it go? After babies, it went somewhere. This is for you. This one's for you. I've got a lot of listener questions per usual. They're always relatable. One specifically I thought was like a ding, ding, ding for me. The men who, or women, me, this has happened to me, like for vice versa, both situations. You totally plan on having sex and then you talk all this game, you're teasing, you've built up, and then whoop, 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 you both fucking go to sleep. And maybe it's more on one person than the other and someone's left disappointed with blue balls. And by the way, girl, blue balls are real. It's probably why I fucking just came when I sneezed. Just kidding. So if you're not new here, you know that I talk about a lot of topics that I educate myself on, or I talk to another person about, or I pull a group of people, or I read, or I take courses. Y'all know this. If you're new, I'm enlightening you. But some of these topics, I'm not living that life. So there was an episode I did about financial domination, which is just absolutely fascinating. And I just wish, if it was 10 years ago, 23-year-old Jordan, good thing she didn't know about that. Good thing she didn't know that there was a kink that existed where men like to be humiliated and drained of their money. And some of them like being put in bad positions. Like, oh, no, she's fucking up my credit kind of shit. I am not yucking anyone's yum. It is a little confusing because of the real life consequences that could ensue. But dude, 10 years ago, Jordan wouldn't have gave a fuck. And I'm just a different bitch these days. I give 17 fucks and I just could. First of all, I am a submissive woman. Like I would not be a dominant Like, that's not, wouldn't get me off if I was married to a person who was expressed interest and role-playing in that way. Would I do it for them? 100%, because that's the submissive in me. I'm up to try to please. Okay. And
hashtag daddy issues.
Anyways, every time these guys slide in my DMs and say, like, train me, I want you to train me. One time I was like, here's my Venmo handle. The guy sent me $10 and said, like, get coffee. I was like, boo. You really? Really? I want AirPods Pro Max. I want the new fucking AirPods. I want you to send me a gift card for $300 to Nordstrom. Shut the fuck up. $10. This, you're making it easy for me to humiliate you, loser. Just kidding. No, but by the way, I always tell my husband when these people slide in, because it is kind of humorous, because a part of them, like, paying someone and being like, I want this money. I'm going to use this money to go take me and my husband out, and then I'm going to fuck him. You big fucking loser. I don't know if they throw the loser in. I'm just like throwing it in for shits and gigs. FYI, I do not think people that are into financial domination are losers. I'm playing along here. Okay. She's trying to just play along, moving along. So this guy in my DM was like, multiple. When you said that you were going to swipe that credit card until it was hot and throw it back at me, I was just like, damn. I'm like, I wish my husband told me he got a boner when I was using the credit card. What a fucking dream. But then imagine being married to a man like that and being like, I got to worry about you everywhere. You're going to go tip all these bitches way too much money when you go out to eat. I don't like this. This is reckless. This is irresponsible. So, you know, you can't have it all. No, but I did Google. I have Googled, and there are women making a lot of money doing this. For me, I could not bear, like, my conscious, me, how Jordan operates, I could not bear thinking, like, I'm taking money from this person. I don't even know their financial situation. And if they had a lot of fucking money and were trying to do that, if I was struggling and I couldn't pay my bills and I was like on my own trying to just make it happen, then whatever. Like, not judging any woman that does this. Do you, boo. But I'm married with children and we work and we don't need to, I don't need to participate in this activity. And it's not my thing. It's not my jam. It's not my kink. I wonder, are there any girls that, like, get off to pay pigs? There are women that, like, yes, I do get off to money being given to me freely. I wonder if there are any women pay pigs. Interesting. There has to be. I mean, right? I mean, it's got to go both ways. No, I would never. I would never. Interesting. Very interesting. And then when I will ask some of these people questions so I can get some insight, because it's interesting. And I feel like some of them feel like a little shame or like it's weird. Maybe because I'm always like, thanks, but no thanks. I think it actually shocks them, because I don't think many women are like, huh, okay, wasn't expecting that. But I always am like, I bet you there are many women on this Instagram app that would be happy to spend your money. Happy searching. So I'm very polite, very polite. So for any future reference, you know, just clarifying, that's all I was doing. Got a little giggle out of it. If anyone wants to, you know, just financially shower me in love, just send me presents. I would love to receive some AirPods at my front door. I would love a puppy. I would love, just kidding. My husband would be like, what are you asking strangers to send? There's a puppy at the front door. Just kidding. That was all in good humor. Let's do listener questions. We're we're going to start it off with a bang. Jordan, please help me. I have been in a 4-year relationship. She is married and not willing to leave because of her children. I respect her decision, but I'm struggling detaching from her. I'm not bothering her or stalking her at all. She is wanting to stay in contact with one another. I told her I can't, but I'm struggling at detaching from her. This is a different question than topic than we normally talk about, because we're always trying, like, I'm always talking about how to better the at-home situation, fighting for your relationship, normalizing it takes hard work, dating your spouse, getting better at fucking. So this is like a self-love, self-worth question. That's what it all boils down to. And anyone can apply this to them in a different situation. Like, what do you want out of life? What does that look like? And let's take her. Like, I know if you might feel the infatuated feelings right now or just missing her like fuck, so you want this life with her. But let's think about your life. Let's just call it a woman. What do you want that relationship to look like? And for her, I don't know if this has been a secret from her husband. If so, that fucking blows. And it's just going to be a gosh darn fucking mess. I always say you're only as healthy as the person, as like the people you attract in your life. That goes for friends, that goes for partners. And I mean, being married, we're trying to grow together, right? Because you can grow apart and we evolve at different times and you fucking are holding on sometimes. And communication, huge part. So I don't know if she's on the down low. I don't know if she's in an open situation. If her husband does his own thing, she does her own thing. There's a mutual understanding. Don't ask, don't tell. I don't know. I guess it only matters if that's something that she can have, relationships outside of her marriage, and you are okay with that, what that life is going to look like, which, think about it, play that tape through. So if that's something that is okay for you and you don't mind and it sounds fine and dandy, then there you go. But if you want a monogamous relationship with someone, if you want to not worry, because have you ever heard the saying, you lose them how you found them? I cannot tell you how many stories I've heard where, and it always, like, it takes years for this shit to play out. Someone gets together and infidelity was the cause of them coming together. And then the person who cheated on their whoever to be with the other person ends up doing it again. Because relationships, that dopamine high wears off. That beginning obsession, it wears off. The feelings then become choices. And that's why I always say monogamy, it takes the most fucking work. Because it can feel unnatural. It can feel like a lot of work. And when people are like, it should feel just really effortless. How? How? I need someone to come on the podcast and tell me fucking how. Because even if you're a great team, I think me and my husband are a great fucking team. Life still throws you fucking curveballs. We are not carbon copies of one another. We're more of the yin and yang vibe. We disagree about things. So navigating that isn't always fun, but you do it. The point of all this is, pick a partner that chooses you. And she's not choosing you. You're something that feels good to her. You're something that's an escape for her. You're like her fucking cough medicine. You're her Band-Aid. You're her soothe. You're her release. And she isn't madly in love with you. I mean, I know some will go, you can't say that. You don't know. I respect the hell that she's putting her kids first and their experience, but it's also like, what are they fucking seeing? I don't know. I don't know the ins and outs or the answers to these questions, but you know what you want and you got to like logically use your brain and go, am I on the path to what I want, or is this a path of destruction, of chaos? and you may be struggling to detach, but you make the choice. Easier said than done. But if you have to have someone to help hold you accountable, if you have to go change your phone number and block her phone number, if you have to go no contact, no communication, because why else would you? If you're keeping your heart occupied there because you're in that and you like that and you like being around her and she makes you laugh and there's this big one thing in the way, her husband and family, it's always going to be there. It's going to cause problems over and over and over and over again. What are you worth? What are you worthy of? Do you love yourself? I think you make the choice. It sucks, but it's not forever. The pain you're feeling is not forever. The trouble of detaching is not forever. So take the walk where you want to go. And if it's a shitty walk to get to the destination you need to be at, you trudge on. Moving onward, question number two, the last one. And if you would like to submit a question, you can go to my website, thehornyhousewifepodcast.com, or slide in my DMs at _thehornyhousewifepodcast. And I always protect your anonymity, always. And if you go on the website, you can submit it like truly anonymously. You don't have to put your email address, your name, whatever. Sometimes people make up little funny names. I like that. It makes me gigs. Anyhow, here we go. Question number two. I have a wife and she will Snapchat me all day about the things she wants me to do to her. All hot and bothered. But when I get home, she'll want to wait until bedtime. She'll watch TV, play on her phone, occasionally message me, but more times than not, she just ends up going to bed. Womp, womp, womp. I added the womp, womp, womp. Okay, is it just me or who? Does everybody have Snapchat? I don't have Snapchat. Is this like a thing? And I'm just way out in left field. My husband, who has no social media, at one point in his life, he had a MySpace, like in the MySpace times. But no, he never got into social media, never desired that. And I think that that is, it's like a rare animal in the wild that you've never seen before. You didn't even know they existed. And there are some men that don't have social media and it's like gives off a shady vibe. He doesn't give off, it's a pure vibe. Rare, because social media is fucking wild. But Snapchat, no, and no thank you. And I'm sure you've all heard the stereotype, stigma, Snapchat's for cheaters. And this wasn't even a Snapchat question. There was not even a mention of it being like an issue in your marriage. I just had to throw it out there. They're like, what the fuck are y'all Snapchatting? Like, who else are you Snapchatting? I think people cheat on Snapchat. I just wanted to give a feeler and have both of y'all go through each other's best friends list. I don't know what that is, but I've seen enough YouTube videos to kind of figure it out. And I hope I didn't ruin your year. But okay, back to the question. On track, Jordan, on track. So that's annoying. That's totally fucking annoying. And I feel like I get annoyed when I feel like my husband teases me. Like maybe some women will be like, shut the fuck up, Jordan. But you know, when your husband like walk by and slap your ass or like he'll be in the night and he'll be just squeezing my boobs all night. I'm like, if you're going to squeeze my boobs, you might as well like do something else because you can't just like come over there and just touch me however you want and then go to work. You need to at least get some boxes checked. Do I think this is like a little niche of me? This is a little like I need therapy and I have psychological problems. Probably. I really don't even know how to articulate much more because I will just open up a can of fucking worms. The high libido, the really high libido women will understand my war cry, right? They will understand what I'm saying. And some of you will not. And that is okay. And I also have felt the other way. We're just like annoyed or it's like, hey, can we not be like flirty and cute and it not mean like we're going to fuck town? There are plenty of women who deserve a massage without you trying to enter her in it. And it just be like a loving massage. But I will say in regards to the question, telling the individual, no matter which way it goes, what I'm going to do to you, blah, 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 blah. And then nothing coming to fruition, that is to be expected sometimes in your marriage, right? But if that is like a thing, that's like a thing, that's a shitty thing. That's not cool. It's very uncool and you don't want to be uncool. You are cool and you don't even have to say that shit. And I will also say this, and this is us all having grace for one another. Sometimes we're like horny during the day. I know I've felt this way. I know my husband's felt this way. I know probably everyone can relate to this, I would think. And then by the end of the day, you're just fucking wiped from life, from whatever popped up, from just, I could just have a totally normal day where it's like, I barely did shit. I went to Pilates and then I sat on my ass and then I made dinner. Juggling a kid is a whole other thing. If you're trying to be a present mother, it is. And then you make dinner. And after you feed everyone and then you wipe an ass and you bathe and you brush and story and a song, you're just like, I'm fucking tired. I think there's always room for an orgasm. I think it can almost like be sleepy. Have sleepy sex. Ladies, if you getting tired is a common theme of why you're not having sex, push yourself. Come on, push yourself. It'll make your marriage better. Your husband will feel like, okay, she's seeing me. She knows, like, I want to connect like this. This is his love language. You have different love languages, you know? So we've got to see one another. I think it's cool that she's talking dirty, but obviously you need to have a conversation with her. You need to be like, hey, I'm getting hot and bothered. I don't know if you masturbate when she sends that stuff to you. I don't know. What's getting her all fucking hot and bothered at work, huh? I'm being such a little bitch right now, but I just want to know why she's horny at the office. Where is she at? Is she at the office? I'm assuming a lot of stuff right now. Is she at home bored? Because I get that, right? Lonely, horny housewife. You know the sitch. It's not like a porno. Stop doing that. But sometimes it, like, your vagina has a heartbeat and you're like, I'm bored and my kid's at school and like, yeah, I'm like totally wish my husband would come home and just fuck the shit out of me. And then by the like 4 hours later, maybe you're like, we'll try again tomorrow. That's okay. Don't beat yourself up. I rambled. I went on and on, but your answer is simple. Plan some afternoon delights, like somehow, some way, let it happen organically. Or when you get home from work, maybe she like wants you to get hot and bothered like you are, and then you come home through the door and push up against a wall and rip her clothes off. But if you have kids, I know that that is not always like what you're able to do, but maybe getting intentional how you can preserve this energy that y'all create, or maybe both of y'all be a little more intentional about this energy you create and have a conversation about kind of being on the same page and uniting and being like, baby, when you send me those Snapchats, I'm like, the Snapchat thing still has me fucked up because I'm just thinking text. When you Snapchat me, is anyone else getting these? There's so many questions. When you send the Snapchat, I'm so fucking turned on, and whatever little conversation you have. And when we get home, sometimes it just doesn't pan out. I don't blame you. I know that we just get tired, but I would love if we could like put that energy in a jar and save that for us. I bet she'd be on the same page and be like, yeah, that's so awesome and sweet. Maybe deep down she feels bad, but you'll never know what she's feeling or thinking if she's not thinking much about it. I feel like it's had to have crossed her mind, especially if this is kind of a thing that happens often. You said more times than not. So I'm seeing that maybe it's a pattern that you just bring it up, or maybe be more intentional about date nights and carving out time to have that erotic playtime. Maybe even being like dominant and just bring her into the room and say, no, do what you said you were going to show me later, or you said you were going to show me something later. I've been dying to see it. Okay, put the pressure on. That might be mean, but hey, don't, you know, say it if you don't mean it, okay? If you say, hey, I want to eat your ass, and then he bends over, like, you have to do it. You said it. So don't say it. Don't say it, because they will run with it. I'm only saying this to protect you. They will never, if you mention, they're so annoying. They're so annoying. I'm talking shit about the men right now in front of them. When you mention maybe another person in the bedroom, they will be like a dog, like wagging their tail, just not all of them. This is just some, but I saw the funniest TikTok. It's like, ask him if he wants to have another person in the bedroom. And when he does, bring over the guy you met at the gym the other week. Which for the cuck people would be totally fine. But for some people, you know, it would really hurt him. It would really hurt him. So, hey, don't ask for something that you wouldn't do. No double standards here. No double standards. No doobsy stunsies. Today's guest is Tilly Storm. I went on her podcast, the Multi-Orgasmic Millionaire podcast. It used to be called the Multi-Orgasmic Mama podcast. So there was a little rebranding there, leveling up on her part. For sure. I really admire what she does. I joined her on episode 203. It's called Resolving Dead Bedroom Syndrome and Women Who Have Higher Desire Than Their Partner with Jordan Hakes. So go check that out. I'll put that link in the description box as well. So Tilly is a holistic sex and intimacy coach. And basically she works with a lot of women who want to have a better sex life. They want to fuck their husbands and they don't feel like fucking their husbands. She takes women who feel asexual and turns them into sexual goddesses again, where women that feel hopeless but are willing, there's so much hope. There's so much hope. We talk about sex or the lack thereof after pregnancy, your hormones, and how you show up, like for men and women. She works with men too. She helps men understand how to show up in a sexual experience, which both men and women can learn that and need to, and we're tested, and how men can really understand how to pleasure their wives. She's great. She's awesome. I'm sure you're all going to enjoy this and get some knowledge out of it. I really liked us talking about the blocks and the walls that we kind of subconsciously form between each other as married people that show up in the bedroom and how that really doesn't help your sex life. I mean, we got to talk about that more between us. Without further ado, Tilly Storm, welcome to the podcast.
Yay, thank you for having me.
I wanted to you to tell the freaky fam first. I always ask this first to everyone that comes on because I think it's a brave niche to be in sexuality or to be so open and forthcoming and be able to talk about something that some people might consider, you know, taboo or uncomfortable. What got you or inspired you to be in this field, whatever you want to call it?
Yeah, for sure. Well, honestly, I've always been one of those rebels and revolutionaries from the get-go. Okay. I grew up in Southern Baptist, Louisiana, and I was very repressed as a young child, but always rebelled against it. Like, I remember walking out of my bathroom naked when I was six and my parents fussing at me because I didn't get dressed in the bathroom before I came out, right? And I always felt like, you know,
you're like, no.
Yeah, what's the deal with this? Anyway, always enjoyed being naked, so original clothes. But didn't even recognize anything about the way that I grew up affected my own sexuality until I was about 27. I was working at a birth center watching women have babies all day for a living.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting. I don't know if I could do that. did it make your vagina scared?
Dude, there's so many things. Like, I'm not into women, I'm pretty sure, because of that.
You're like, this actually, I told my husband, do not look down there, because my mom was like, when you have a baby, tell him to just stay up by your head. And my dad was like, it's an image you'll never forget. So I told my husband, like, please don't look. And he listened to me and I'm glad.
Yeah. Yeah. It's quite fascinating. I mean, although it does give you a huge appreciation for the female body and what it can do, but it's, yeah.
No,
it's
just totally shit on that. Sorry. I know, it's a beautiful, some men are like, ah, that doesn't gross me out at all. They're still ready to go right back in there.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, I watched that women have babies and postpartum appointments would all be the same story of like, oh, I'm not having sex with him right now. And that is the last thing on my mind. And that's when I started to make the connection that, oh, women really struggle with sex after big life transitions, like having babies, getting divorced, stuff like that. And it wasn't something I struggled with, but it was definitely what I saw for the most part that was happening with not only just like in the place I was working, but with personal friends who would complain about the same things, lack of desire, like, oh, I don't have any interest in that and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So I saw that it was like a thing. And then I was like, yep, you know what? I feel like this is my calling in life.
It really is. Mismatched libido is extremely common. It really is.
Very common. Yeah, I would say it's one of the biggest pain points in most relationships, to be honest.
And then, you need help navigating it sometimes because I feel like you get stuck in a crazy cycle. If it's just how I think, then how he thinks. It's rare for you to have the same exact drive. And it is more women. Don't you, like, I hate to like stereotype them, but don't you think it's more women that have a lower drive? Do you see that?
I do. And I would also say it definitely goes the other way, but the vast majority is women having disinterest. And
I'm living proof of the other way.
Me too. Yes.
And yeah, that's frustrating.
On the episode I did with you, how we're both very high desire.
Yeah. And so you got to listen to that episode. We talked about that. I remember that. Yeah, that's nice. It's nice to meet another woman who feels the same way I do because some women don't relate at all.
I know. Yeah, it is. And then you feel like the whole slut shaming thing and like you're a crazy nymphomaniac and all that stuff. It makes you think you're crazy when it's like the most normal and natural thing for us to want and desire sex just as much as anyone else, you know?
Do you think it's bittersweet though, like a blessing and a curse? Or no? Is that me being cynical?
I could definitely consider it a blessing. Anytime I'm in a hard spot, I'm like, well, at least my body gives me all this pleasure and I'm very thankful for this.
At least she can have an orgasm. I know, right? There are too many women. But look at you. You're out there helping people who can't have them.
Exactly. Yes. And there's quite a few.
And okay, so you're a mom. I'm a mom. I don't really talk about parenthood or kids very often on my podcast, but as a mom, is that weird to like, I always think about how I'm going to tell my child that this is my job.
Dude, I have the funniest story about this.
Okay. Okay. Yes.
My youngest, when he was in fourth or fifth grade, I don't know, whatever the year that COVID started was.
Oh, 2020.
Oh, yeah. So it was like, before that when they were still going to school. Okay. Yeah. I think he was in fifth grade, may have been fourth. Anyway,
one of those years,
they were at the computer lab in school and him and his buddy were just like, oh, we should look up our parents and Google them.
Oh, this is my nightmare. My nightmare. At least we don't do OnlyFans.
Oh, dude, no kidding, right? Well, it's, you know, it's funny because at the time I went by a different name. And I changed my name in January 2020.
So you're anonymous?
No.
I wish I was. I'm not.
Yeah. No, I go by Tilly Storm, but it's not legally my name.
Okay. Okay.
So I went by another name. But before that happened, he Googled me and I was, oh my God, like the photos from my website came up. And at the time, my photos were like super boudoirish and super sexy.
Oh, this is hilarious.
Oh my God. And his friend, my kid's friend was looking at it. He's like, oh, this is my mom. And he's like, oh, wow. And then I was like, oh, holy shit. No.
Sleep over at it. This is my mom. Right. Teacher. That's hilarious.
Yeah. And he came home and told me, and he's like, I Googled you, mom. And like, so your photos look nothing like you.
Kids say the darndest things, don't they?
Like, wow.
Literally, they're so embarrassing. I remember one time I drew a picture of my mom in like her little lingerie. They said, draw family. And she would always wear this lace teddy around the house. So I drew her in that. And my mom, I remember being like, why did you draw this outfit on me for like your little private Christian school teacher to see. I was like, that's what you wear every day. It's okay. But it's totally okay. Embrace it. Times have changed.
Exactly. Yeah. Well,
okay. When I went on your, what was the last thing we were talking about? How you got into this? You saw that women had a need. There was a need to help others in this department. And you, for when I went on your podcast, is the name changed? Is it called something now? It's different. Multi-orgasmic millionaire, right?
Yeah, it was the Multi-Orgasmic Mama. And I've just made 5 years in podcasting on November 30th, 2022. And with it has come, you know, wanting to grow and expand and evolve my own work and who I serve. And I've mostly worked with moms and getting their desire back and having better orgasms.
You've been really successful at it, right?
Right. Yeah, for sure. Very successful. And I've had amazing client success stories. They're all on the podcast. I didn't take any of them down. They're all still there. But I have found that I don't feel that I'm here to serve the masses. I never believed that. Like, I never wanted to like grow and scale a business to help so many people. Of course, I want people to have this stuff, but like the depth that I go and the work that I do is really important. And it really does help create the transformation that I feel people really want to experience. I've shifted and changed, you know, who my ideal person is to serve. Right. And all of that sort of stuff. And it's really people who have it made in every other area of their life. But look at Elon Musk, dude, the guy's a billionaire and he can't keep a relationship or have a satisfying sex life to save his life, you know?
And it's like people get consumed. I mean, he's got probably like socially something.
Yeah.
But a lot of people get in that hustle culture and like go, go, go and girl boss, guy boss, whatever it is. And then the relationship stuff kind of falls to the wayside or it's like sometimes they had terrible examples growing up from their parents. And I'm not like hating on the boomers or anything, but I think it was a lot of sweeping under the rug and not talking about big T, little T traumas and, you know, generational healing. And I grew up religious, so they definitely were talking about like break generational curses. You said you grew up what, Southern Baptist? Is that what you said?
Right. Yep.
Okay, so a lot of my family's in Louisiana. I'm from Texas and we were non-denominational, but like mega church, like speaking in tongues, like all that stuff. I mean, which is
same.
You know, as an adult now, looking back, it's just a trip. It's just a trip. Tell me a little bit more of who you work with and how you work with them. I noticed on your website, you talked about there was like tantric stuff. I'm super into that stuff. Is that what you mean when you say going deeper, like doing really deep work?
Well, you know, I think a lot of sexuality has very, very little to do with learning tips, tricks, and techniques. And way, 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 way more to do with who you are when you show up and how you show up as in a sexual experience. And while all of us want, you know, to learn the thing that's going to make it better, it often doesn't. And likely for people who have tried all the tips, tricks, and techniques to be, if you're a guy, most of y'all want to be an incredible partner for your person, you know, and you want to give them the best experience possible. And, you know, while you may have learned all of these things, it might not be happening for your partner still. And then it makes you feel like, oh my God, there's something wrong with me. I'm not doing it right. I feel inadequate and blah, 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 blah. And it actually kind of fucks with your head because it makes you question, you know, your worthiness and, you know, am I ever going to be able to fully satisfy my partner when it has nothing to do with whether or not you know how to give the technique in the way that works.
They're going through the motion. Like they're going through the motions, but it's not there because they're not there.
Right. Exactly. Because the thing that makes sex incredible and electric is the energy behind it, is who you're showing up as, whether you can be fully present with someone, whether or not you have walls and blocks up, which most people do. And that's not why it's super electric and amazing, because there are often a lot of walls up and I'm protecting myself and they're all unconscious things. It's not something that you're probably doing, thinking about like, oh, I'm going to put my wall up when I go to have sex. Of course you're not thinking like that, but they exist.
Oh, wow. This is good, because I think I'm thinking of men, like men I've been with, where I'm like, oh, I could clearly tell that there is some sort of wall. And that's the thing, is when I would ask like, hey, what are you talking about? Like, I would almost feel like gaslit a little bit. Like, I'm crazy for thinking that there's this disconnect, you know, and that going through the motions is all there. But what is it? Is it shame or is it insecurity? What is it, just specific to each person and like all the factors that come with being them?
Yeah. So there's different blocks and obstacles that really protect a person from experiencing real connection and intimacy and love with other people, because of all the heartbreak and the little T and big T traumas that we experience along the way. So yeah, there's all sorts of things, but yeah, I mean, it can be insecurities. It can be just being in your head all the time. It can be that you're fantasizing about a porn scene that you saw and you don't know how to get there without that fantasy, which is a lot of people.
Yeah,
women
yeah.
can always tell when you're playing a porn scene in your head, by the way.
Yeah. And that's, yeah. Isn't that, I mean, like, what do you feel about porn? What's your stance on porn?
Well, I think that it depends on why you're using it. I don't think that it's inherently a bad thing. I think it can be really expansive to some people and it can feel really limiting to some people. So if it becomes an expansive thing for you, like, well, I've only ever been with my wife since we were 16 years old. You know, if you start watching porn, you might learn and pick up some things that otherwise you never would have experience or even known about. So in that way, it can be super empowering.
Right.
And on the other side of the coin, it's like, okay, well, you know, I see these things and then I become addicted to this fantasy. And then it's
habitual.
Eventually. Yeah. And then it might eventually become not enough anymore. It might not work anymore. And then I have to go down the rabbit hole, finding something more intense and
insatiable.
Yeah.
And snowball. And then destruction.
Yeah.
So what happens if there's people listening and they feel like how I describe feeling disconnected during sex or something, and they don't know how to bring that up to their partner, or their partner doesn't necessarily feel like there's anything wrong, but they do? What would you suggest? How do you go about that?
Well, if you've been together a while and you're in a long-term relationship with this person, it's probably not like your partner doesn't already know, because talking about it. And because people don't know how to effectively communicate about sex, a lot of times they just sweep it under the rug and think, well, they settle. And then they're just like, well, I guess this is just as good as
ever.
Yeah.
Don't recommend. 0 out of 10 recommend that.
Agreed.
Yeah, because that'll just manifest in ugly, ugly ways. So how do you work with people and how do they go about reaching out and talking to you?
Yeah, so I have several offers on the menu right now. And the most long-standing one that I've done is my 5-month group program for women. This is the one that, you know, my original signature thing that I've had almost 100 women go through it in the past 2.5 years. And this is Sex Goddess, 5 months to Total Freedom in the Bedroom. It was called something else. It's called the Centrally Embodied Woman before, but the name changed. And this is where we're really helping women to get their desire back, resolve the mismatched libido issues, to get their sexuality back online so they can have more energy, so they actually want to initiate sex with their partner, so they're actually getting the pleasure, which is sometimes the thing, is like they enjoy having sex with their partner, but they're not having an orgasm with their partner. And then why do they want to do that when they're not getting theirs, you know? So
some women are like, I feel bad for my husband and I want to be there for him and provide what he needs. So I'm putting out or I'm giving him sex, but I'm not even enjoying it. I can't get off. And then some women I've heard of, like, I literally feel asexual. And it's like, I have no idea. I don't want to be like this. And that's heartbreaking. Like, you don't have to live like that forever. You're not stuck. I think some women feel completely hopeless, and there is hope, just like for men that are stuck.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny you talked about the asexual thing. I had a client that I just did an interview with, and I called it from asexual to sexual to sex goddess because that was her thing.
That's a miracle.
She was like, I've never initiated sex in my entire life.
Oh, wow.
38 years old. And she's like, I've only just done it when someone asked me to, or my partner asked me to. And we worked with her for 5 months, and she's initiating all the time now. So,
wow. And like, gosh, you must feel, this must be a newfound aha moment. Now she'll initiate forever and ever, I'm sure. Once you experience that power and pleasure. That's interesting. Super cool. You have to be willing. You can't have an unwilling person. You have to have someone who wants to sign up to do the work.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I have a lot of men that will find my podcast and they'll tell their partner about it, or they'll book a call with me hoping to find out how to get their partner to do it. I'm like, dude, you can't make someone do something they don't want to do. Okay.
I get that all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
I know.
How can I make my wife want to have a threesome? It's like, I'm sorry, sir. That's not how it's going to work.
Exactly.
And I don't ask her that, because you might get hit in the face. My husband knows better. He would know better.
Yeah. Well, the thing I tell him is, you know, you can't make someone do something they don't want to do. And also share the podcast with her, and she'll decide for herself whether or not she wants to listen and tune in. I've had several clients who've done the Sex Goddess program who came from their partners sharing my podcast. So it can
men
work.
Can reach out, women, couples, whoever.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And is it a long-term thing you work with people, or explain it to me?
Yeah. So Sex Goddess is a group program for women, and that's 5 months. And then we have, VIP experiences that we can do, which is for people who are really busy and want a quick resolution and don't have, you know, 5 months to devote to doing all of the things. And that can range from 1 day to a 5 day experience. There's a lot of prep work involved in it. Doing some initial calls before we actually do the experience, and then some integration calls after. And this is really great for, women who lack desire too, or couples who want to reignite their spark after a long time of not having it. I've worked with couples.
Dead bedroom.
Yeah, exactly.
Situation.
Yeah. So especially the ones who've been in the game for 15, 20, 25 years together, there's usually a lot of buried resentment and anger and frustration. So we can really move through a lot in a 5 day VIP experience sort of thing. And then there's men's sexual mastery training, which is when, you know, I'm working privately with a guy on helping him get out of this frame of mind of like, I need to give her all the best things and to be the best lover, but actually work on his sexuality. So who he is being when he shows up. This is
good work you're putting out in the universe. This is good. And I think that is... it's great for couples who want to take the next step, because there's people that reach out or they'll ask things or they'll DM me. And it's like so much more than just an answer I could try to tell you, because I mean, obviously each relationship is so unique and there's so many factors and what he does and what she does and what their life's like and their kids and her hormones and his testosterone and all the things. But I think that if people are really serious about making a change, inviting a third party is really a great idea. And I'm so beyond talk therapy. This is just my opinion, because I feel like I'm cynical about it. I've been in so much talk therapy and it was great for a lot of things. But, you know, now I feel like, especially after COVID, it all went remote and then they just want my copay and I feel like I don't get solutions in the therapy. I'm venting now about therapy, but I feel like they're just kind of wanting me to hold on for the next time and stretch it out as long as they can to keep me. So I feel like coaching, you have like goals and intention behind it. So.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Coaching is so much different than therapy. It's a lot more money. So there is that, because it is absolutely goal oriented. It's not just talking about your problems. It's leading you through. It's very experiential. Especially,
it's an investment, right?
Yeah. Well, absolutely. But for couples, it's especially experiential because we're actually leading you through the thing and we're witnessing you being doing guided. The thing. Like, it's not like you're going home and hoping the best for your homework.
Right, right. And just like, what the fuck are we doing? And then fighting over listening to her. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. So where could people find you?
Yeah. So you can go to tillystorm.com. You got to put in the www.tillystorm.com or just Google my name. And book a call. That's the best way to do it.
Thank you for coming on the podcast. I had fun talking to you.
Yeah, you too.
Okay, Freaky Fam, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Everything we talked about will be in the description box per usual. Get some Uber Lube, check out Tilly's website, and make sure you fucking subscribe to the podcast. If you do anything, make sure you're subscribed to the podcast. And hey, if you enjoyed any episode ever from the Horny Housewife podcast, please leave me a review. It helps so much. 5 stars on Apple Podcast, and you can leave a rating on Spotify. Thank you so much. Love you so much. See you next week. Do you like audio erotica? Do you like mommy's voice? If so, every week on my Patreon, I post 2 sexy stories, all kinds of genres, all kinds of kinks, fantasies. They're fun, they're naughty, they're delicious. Go to the link in the description box or patreon.com/thehornyhousewifepodcast and you will find it. See you there.